by God. We can't survive without God. We cannot survive without Him. We are meant to live in His presence. Do you realize that when God created the fish, He spoke to the sea. He said, let the water be teemed with living creatures. And when He wanted to create trees, He spoke to the earth. Let the earth bring forth vegetation. But when God wanted to create man, He spoke to Himself. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. What happened when you take the fish out of the water? It died. You pull the plant out of the soil of the earth, it died. If you take us out from God, disconnect with God, we die. And death is separation. And we are created to live in His presence. They say God is so fixed in not only being with us, but in us through the Holy Spirit. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about the church. We are on this series about the church. I love preaching about the church because I'm passionate about the church. I'm passionate about the church because Jesus is passionate about the church. And as I was preparing this, I recall in 1990, sometime in April, I was in the library at TAFE College in Dandenong. How many of you were born in 1990? Oh, wow. You look very young. That was 36 years ago, 1990, sorry. And I remember at the library in TAFE College in Dandenong, my wife, Carol, was taking a short course on medical terminology. And so I brought her there and I went to the library and I was writing my thesis, my 10,000-word thesis for my Bible college days on ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. You know, the church, there are many pictures that speaks of the church and they are powerful truth. As you know, next week, Jasmine will talk about the bride of Christ, which is the church. So today I'm going to talk about the body of Christ. You know, the church is God's idea. It's not created by man. It's God's idea. And it speaks of the incredible vital connection and relationship between us and God and with each other. It has enormous implication when we understand the church as the body of Christ. Enormous implication how we relate to Christ, to one another, and to the world. Now, before I carry on, I just want to highlight that the church, I think there's no battery in this. Or could you help me with the slide? Okay, I think the battery is dead. The church is a divine mystery. Thank you. Oh, how we need the power of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You know, without power, like the battery, we can't operate. The church is a divine mystery now revealed. You know, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ was not the end of His work. In fact, it's the beginning of something greater. You know, and when He rose from the grave, He didn't leave us as often. In fact, Jesus established His ongoing presence on earth through His body, the church. The Apostle Paul called it the great mystery. Okay, if you can give me the next slide. You know, Paul began to share right through the New Testament. The thread goes through different books in Ephesians 3:4. It talks about how the mystery that is being revealed, the mystery of Christ that we are able to understand. And it was not made known to other generation, but now revealed to us by the Spirit of God's holy prophets and apostles. And this ministry is through the good news of the gospel, through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are heirs, as Gentile, non-Jew, we become heirs together with Israel. That's why we are children of Abraham in the faith, because we are heirs together with Israel, members in one body, together of one body, and share together the promise in Christ Jesus. This is a great mystery, that together Okay. Be reminded the gate is closed, the front gate. And God want to make known the glorious riches. In fact, in Colossians, he talked about the glorious riches, right, of this mystery among Gentiles, us, non-Jew, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us. And Christ being the head of the church, and we his body. And in Christ, the blessing of Abraham will come to the Gentiles so that we can receive the promised Spirit through faith. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. That's why it's so important that we remain in the vine in order to be fruitful. Are you going to do the slides for me, or I'm going to have the counter? Okay. Now, I want to unpack three truths for you about the church, all right? And thank you. Is it working now? Awesome. Thanks, Victor. Three truths about the church with this short time I have. The first one is Christ, the head of the church. He is our source, our authority and direction. And for us to realize that at the end of the day, it is Christ's church. I'm not talking about New Zealand, okay? It is the church of Jesus Christ. Now, oftentimes we say so-and-so's church, this famous pastor's church. No, it's not their church. It's Jesus Christ's church, all right? And the scripture tells us again and again that for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body. And he himself its Savior. And Colossians say the same thing, that as he's the head of the body, the church. Again, see, doctrine cannot be formed out of one verse. It's a continuous thread right through the New Testament. So he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in everything, he might be preeminent. That's why Christ is not Lord unless he's Lord of all. It's not partial. It's not something that you have at a sideline. But he's everything. He's the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. That's why we look forward to the day that we will be like him with our glorified body. And even right through from Ephesians, Colossians, even to Corinthians and Romans, the same thing went right through the scripture, that you are the body of Christ and individually member of all of us, born again, believers, spirit-filled, we are member individually. It's not a general thing. Each one of us, all are included, born again, spirit-filled. And though many, we are one body in Christ and individual a member of one another. And in Colossians, it expounds a bit more to help us to understand that in him, the whole fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form, and you have been filled in him. Christian faith is the only faith that God comes and lives inside us. Completely different from all other faith, that he chose to fill us with his fullness, who is the head of all rules and authority. That's why the church is not meant to be powerless. It's ridiculous for the church to be powerless when it's filled with the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in us to Jesus Christ. That's why Ephesians tells us that he put all things under his feet and give him head over all things to the church. See, I like the song. It's all about Jesus. See, too many people focus on men. Men will fail you. Program will fail you. Organization will fail you. They will hurt you. They will disappoint you. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus. So important. It's all about him. He put all things under his feet and gave it head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him dwells in us, who fill all in all. And we got to grapple with this truth that it is Jesus' church. He says, I will build my church. It's his church. He loved the church. He laid down his life for the church. You know, scripture tells us a person will love his body, will nourish and cherish his body, just as Christ cherished and nourished his church. So every time when you criticize the church, it's like I come and criticize your body. You know, I'm come and criticize your wife, the bride of Christ. Christ loved the church. And we want to honor that. We want to love the church. We want to be passionate about the church. And he loved the church. He laid down his life. He provided direction from the church for the church. He holds all authority. That's why we go forth with the authority. He says, all authority is given unto me, heaven and earth. Go forth. We are his physical representation on earth. People need to see the glory and the power of Christ in us. The church is not headless. I know there's a lot of legend, even in the Chinese legend of a headless God, you know. We are not headless. We have Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And it calls, see, spiritual maturity begins with our submission to the head. Imagine if the head says something, the hand do something else, the leg do something else. You know, something is wrong. Something is not right. A natural, healthy body, you know, the head is one that flows all the instruction. It's not activities for Christ. It's always about Christ, submitting to him. And we are the physical representation. And oftentimes we fail to represent correctly the love and the glory and the power of Jesus. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And everywhere we go, we want people to see more of Jesus and less of us. That's why we need to die to ourselves and rise up, resurrect up with the life of Christ in us and let the life of Christ be given unhindered expression to the world. If they ever want to know about love, they know it through the church. Because we are called to love. In fact, this is how you love one another. Lay down your life for one another, just as I've laid down my life for you. Such radical love and presence of God and power of God is at work. So when we pray for people, when we see people that are in bondages, you know, being demon-possessed and under stronghold, we go there to proclaim freedom like Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, to proclaim good news to the poor, you know, to set the captives free, to release a prisoner, to cause the blind to see. We are declaring the same thing. The same Spirit that fell on Jesus is on us. He said, as the Father sent me, I send you. The authority and all the resources that I have, I send you. The same way the Father sent me. That's why we are part of this supernatural kingdom. We got to be supernatural. We got to be so naturally supernatural that the supernatural become natural. It should be our lifestyle. We are so cognitive driven. You know, we're always thinking, our rational thinking, and you know, we always are tied down to the natural system of the world. That's why Paul said, don't be squeezed and conformed to the system of the world, to the custom of the world. We got to think from heaven. We got to live from heaven, not from earth, because we are part of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? We are seated with him in heavenly places. Now, this is not part of my notes. I better go on or else I'll be late. I wrote 10,000 words on the doctrine of the church and trying to squeeze it in half an hour's time. The second truth I want to unpack about the church is unity in diversity. You know, there's this imitation the devil is trying to create. Anything happened in the Garden of Eden between about gender, about marriage, the devil will try to have a deceptive imitation. You know, now there's this big thing about diversity, equality, inclusiveness, DEI, and all that. The church is diverse. We are equal. We are all heirs of Christ and with Christ. And we are all included in the body. Every one of us, no one is useless. Every member is connected and necessary. If you're part of the church, you are necessary. You're connected. You're not useless. No one is optional. Everyone is needed.
Now the scripture tells us in Corinthians, one body, many members, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one. So it is with Christ. That is, this unity is very important, that they may be one. And is anything that is happening now, we are so disunited because of our strong opinions and our preferences comes in the way. But the Spirit said, for in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So it does not matter whether you're Jew, you're Greek, doesn't matter you're slave free, intelligent, not so intelligent, good looking, not so good looking. It does not matter. We are all made to drink one Spirit. We are one in Him. And that's why of all the prayer is about loving one another, being one, so that the world may know you are my disciples when we are one, when we love one another. Because we are one body, we cannot be divided. And also, in verse 18, it says, God arranged the member in the body, each one of them as He chooses. God gives some 5 tenants, some 2, some 1. God chose us to place us, each one of us, as He chooses. So we have different function. The eyes cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the part of the body that seems to be weaker are indispensable. I still remember when I was a teen, I heard this illustration that one day the nose was very upset with the eye. See, for years I've been carrying these heavy glasses, spectacle. I don't use the glasses, but I have to carry the burden. Those days, there's no contact lens, so it's very thick glasses, very heavy. And so the nose protests. It's not my job. I'm not going to carry the glasses. So that guy couldn't see. And he walked into a wall. And guess who got first? The nose. We need each other. And oftentimes, the less honorable are bestowed with greater honor. The unpresentable parts are treated with greatest modesty. Each one of us are to have the same care for one another. If one suffer, we all suffer. Don't say to the kidney, it's your problem if you carry a stone inside you. You know, the pain is going right through your whole body. You will feel it. So we are all together in one body. And in Romans, it highlights the same thing, that we do not have the same function even though we are member of one body. Each member belongs to all the other. Everyone. That's why belonging is so powerful. It's very powerful. It's one of the inner need and cry of every human being. We want to belong. So we belong to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. And whatever gift we have, use it. Be a good steward. Don't bury it. When I first started, I can't even speak English properly till I was in my late teens. But with the little 5 loaves and 2 fish, as Daniel said, we release it to the Father's hand. Let Him use it. We are all gifted by God. None of us are not, you know, everyone will receive something from the Lord. We are all gifted. And no one is useless. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're gifted, you're not useless. Come on, you're gifted, you're not useless. In 1934, there was a young man with a friend. They visited a 10 revival meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina. So these two men went there, but the place was jam-packed. So they decided to leave. But one usher saw these two young men. He quickly reached out to the young man. Don't go. I will find a place for you. And he managed to find 2 seats where the choir was sitting and got him there. In that meeting, the preacher, Mordecai Ham, was preaching. And this young man was so convicted, he gave his heart to the Lord. And that young man is Billy Graham. He became
well known as one of the global evangelists that thousands come to know him. And he started with the ushers who saw. That's why welcoming team is important. The first smile they received when they walked in. And I encourage you, if you can smile, join the welcoming team, right? Christine will be very happy. You know, Albert will be very happy to welcome you. If you can smile brightly, make sure you brush your teeth that morning. Be in the welcoming team. In 1854, 17-year-old boy was working in a shoe shop in Detroit. He doesn't know Christ. And those days, they are kind of forced to go to Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher had a burden for this boy. He went to the shop just to visit the boy, to show love and care for him. And in that shoe shop, the Sunday school teacher led this boy to the Lord. And this boy's name is D.L. Moody. And if you know anything about it, he shared the gospel to over 100 million people. Those days, there was no internet or social media, no television. 100 million. In fact, today we know about Moody Bible Institute. We know the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. 100 million because of one Sunday school teacher. If you are able to help in the Kingdom Kids, maybe you can help by accompanying them to the toilet to assist the teacher. Do something. Do something. Even as a Sunday school teacher, you never know. The child that you minister to is going to touch the world. The church needs you. What is missing in the church? What's missing? You are. You are missing in the church. Everybody can play a part. Everyone. The more you steward the gift you have, the more God will multiply. I remember when I was young, I was struggling to even give a testimony, you know, with proper grammar and pronunciation. But when you step out and you say, God, use me. Use me. I remember in a church camp, in a family camp, there was a call to serve the Lord. I responded and said, Lord, among my Sunday school classmates, I come from the worst school, the neighborhood school, you know. It's called SSS. It's supposed to be Serangoon Secondary School, but I call it Singapore Stupid School, you know, because a lot of students there are really, you know, it's from the village, from the kampong, the village. I said, God, all my Sunday school classmates, they're from Raffles Institution, the top school, they speak fluently. How could God use me? I battled with it, but yet I walked forward to the altar and said, Lord, here is the word I have. Use me. And remember when I went to Bible college, I sold everything, give whatever I have to the church building fund to mission, and with two bags, I said, God, here I am. This is all I have. All you see is all you get. But God can multiply it. It can multiply your talent. So steward that gift. And this sincerely desire the best gift. God wants to give us gift. He said, whatever gift that is good, sincerely desire the best gift. The gift of tongues to pray and intercede continually. The gift of prophecy, healing, whatever it is. The church needs all these. That's why he gave the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Why? For the building up of the church, so that the church can be matured, for the equipping of the saint to do the work of ministry. You know, some people say, I'm not an evangelist, therefore I don't do evangelism. Wrong. All of us are called to go into the world to preach the gospel. You may not be an evangelist, you can do evangelism. And the evangelist equip the saint for the work of the ministry. But I'm not a pastor, I don't do pastoring. No, you shepherd and pastor the flock. You may not be the pastor, but the pastor equipped the saint for the work of the ministry. So we still do pastoring even though I'm not a pastor. You understand what I'm saying? That all of us are called. All of us are given gift. Okay, very quickly, the next few minutes left. The third truth I want to unpack about the church is love is the environment where the body grows to maturity. This is so crucial. All the fights and offense and disagreement all boils down to this. We don't love each other enough. That's why the Bible says, think of others highly more than yourself. Laying down your life for each other. This is what love is. And we got to demonstrate, how does love look like when we love like Jesus? That's why the song said, that I may love like Jesus, like the way you love. That my heart be broken by the things that breaks the heart of God. And Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 tells us, speaking the truth in love, so that we are to grow up in every way in Him who is the head into Christ, from the whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, and every part working properly, every part. So when someone don't do their part, you know you're in trouble. So make the body grow so that it build itself up in love. In fact, there are many scriptures that said provoke each other to love. The word provoke is the same word you provoke someone to anger. You know, you stir someone until they couldn't take it anymore and they jump into action. That's the same word, provoke each other. We got to outdo each other in love. So in every situation with your reaction, you got to ask yourself, is this the best loving things to do? If this is the best loving way to go about. So we got to stir each other, spur each other, provoke each other to love and good deeds so that we can grow together in love. And Jesus modeled for us. See, in all our relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He modeled for us. When he was on earth, he was fully man and fully God. But he set aside his divinity. And as fully man, he get hungry, he get tired. He's limited to one place at one time. But he's anointed of the Holy Spirit. See, if he performed miracles as God, then you can say, yeah, he's God. He can do anything he wants. But he performed miracles as a man anointed of the Holy Spirit. That's why Acts says, Jesus of Nazareth, to state that he's a man of Nazareth, anointed of the Holy Spirit and go about doing good and casting out demons and healing the sick. And the same mindset, that we see things. We say, God, let me see the way you see. Let me feel the way you feel. That we have the same heartbeat with Jesus for his church. And we got to move from being a consumer to a contributor. Everyone plays part. Because at the end of the day, we have to give an account before the Lord. And I believe the more you pour in, the more you receive. That's the principle. God always gives seed to the sower. You don't sow, you don't get seed. And we want to sow. Philippians tells us, don't grumble. Look, the church is not perfect, okay? Every pastor have their strengths and weaknesses. So don't look to men as though you're looking to God. And it's sad that some people, the way they look at some superstar apostles or pastors like they are God, they're not. And then when they start to fall, then the sheep will be scattered because their foundation is not on Jesus. It's on men. It's on branding. It's on program and activities. But our eyes is upon Him. So we got to do everything without grumbling or arguing so that we come blameless and pure children of God without fault in this crooked generation, that we will shine among them like stars in the sky. How are we to shine in this dark world? I believe in the end times is going to be the worst of time and the glorious of time. It's going to be the darkest of time and yet the brightest of time for the church. Do you realize that the darker it is, even the candlelight can shine very brightly? And we need to shine in this dark age. The world is turning into a situation whereby good is called evil, evil is called good. It's also messed up. And all the value that are being taught in school now are so empty, the value of the Word of God. And we got to stand up and shine. If we have any encouragement, any comfort from His love, let's do it. Having the same love, the same love, being one spirit of one mind. And we do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value other above yourself and look not into your own interests, but in the interest of others. I pray that God will speak to our hearts, that we don't just do church for 1.5 hours on a Sunday, and then we are divorced from what is happening to Christ's body Monday to Saturday. That we are in the body of Christ. I'm going to ask a musician to come forward right now as we enter into a time of communion. Jesus loved the church. Let's love the church. It's not perfect yet, but Jesus is committed to wash, to cleanse, to sanctify the church, to become a radiant church. Present it to Himself. If you have not received a cup, can you just raise your hand? I'm going to pass you one before you go. All of you can just tear and just keep the portion of the bread open as I read to you this verse. You can tear now the first part of it. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16, it tells us, it's not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ. The blood that was shed for us, that cleansed us from all our sin, our curses, our judgment, the power in the blood. It's not the bread that we break, a participation in the body of Christ. As we break bread together, let's be reminded, we are His body. We are His physical representation on earth. They know Jesus through us. Because there's only one loaf. We who are many are one body, and we share one loaf. Let's honor by doing this till He comes, that when we eat and drink, we are proclaiming what God has done for us out of His love until He comes. Father, we thank You for Your body that hung on the cross for us. Your word says You took upon Yourself our diseases and our sin on the cross. Thank You for Your body that by Your stripe we are healed. I pray right now for those that are not well, going through medical treatment, we stand on Your word right now. We proclaim the invasion of Your kingdom. Lord, Your word says, declare and proclaim the kingdom of God is here. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Your word says the work that You do, we shall also do. And greater than this, we shall do. Father, right now, by Your name and Your authority, we stand and join our faith together in agreement as one. On Your word, there's healing in the atonement. We claim it right now on those who are not well. Emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, we speak Your healing right now. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the bread together. Let's tear open for the cup right now. Father, we thank You. The blood that is still flowing on Calvary, that if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, your blood, oh God, is able to enable us to enter boldly into your very throne room, your throne of grace. Because of the blood of Jesus, the curtain is torn into two. We have direct access into your very presence. God, we thank you, Lord, for the blood, the power in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. We thank you, Father, for Jesus and his finished work. We claim right now wholeness and freedom in Jesus' mighty name. Every curse will be nullified right now. Every stronghold will be broken right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, by the blood and the power in the blood of Jesus Christ, we receive it, we participate, we appropriate it in our life by faith right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's drink of the cup together.